Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
I can go on forever. I want to welcome all of you that came tonight. Welcome our stream family. Tonight, we're going to be talking about prayer. Is prayer really important? I'm calling it prayer 101.
Amen. Yes.
Because we all know that this is our leadership training night, right? We all leaders need to know how to pray. I looked up what prayer is, and it's partnership, fellowship, sharing, to judge oneself, look deep within, a solemn request, expression of thanks, and an act of hope. Prayer is mentioned 32 times in the Bible. It gives us a foundation. It activates a rapport with God. It's a commitment. It equips us. It transforms us. It's a weapon. It's worship. It's power. And it's deliberate. Amen. God instructs us to pray in Matthew 26, verse 41. It says, keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak. Prayer is many things, but most importantly, it's communication. Communication is my first point. It helps us realize, and it's just talking to God. That's why God created us. Amen. He wanted people to communicate with, so he gave us his, so we could have his best. That's why he has written down all his promises and blessings, so we can reinforce ourselves, equip ourselves, and enable us to pray more or better. The Bible says he spoke with Adam every day. He spoke to them every day. If he spoke to Adam and Eve, he'll speak with us.
Amen. Yes.
Aren't we always told that the Bible is just a rehearsal for what's to come, for how it's going to be? So I'm excited to know that my God can talk to me every day, but we have to have ears to hear.
Yes.
It's a two-way channel in all relationships with God, with our marriages, with our friendships. You can't just talk to somebody once, to them, talk to them, and they not respond. Amen. Well, it's the same thing with God. He talks to us, but he's waiting for us to respond. There must be communication or it won't work. That's the beginning of what? A breakdown. So you have to talk. Prayer opens the door, the pathway for God to hear and speak to us. He's waiting on us to activate the communication. Psalms 5:3 says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my needs before you and wait in expectation for you to speak to my heart. And isn't that what Pastor Luca was talking about in the second service? Expectation. That was his word for the year, or for the couple of months, for his series. Expectation. That's our opportunity. I think this mic is like in the way of my notes. It's an opportunity for us to ask for instruction, to get solutions and assurance that we can live this life the way God intended us to live it. He wants us to think like he thinks, not like we think. He wants us to think like he thinks. You heard the saying, having the mind of God, right? That's what he wants. There's nothing God can't do. He's our dad. He wants to give us everything as long as it lines up with his plan. But if we don't read the word and we don't pray, we don't know what that is. Amen? What do you want God to do for you? We need to ask ourselves that every single day. What do we want God to do for us? He already knows what we need. So why ask him? He already knows what we need. He just wants us to ask. Because now He can get involved with us. He can get involved with our lives, our needs, and everything that we have in this life. He just wants to be involved. He wants us to depend upon him the way we used to depend upon our parents when we were younger. Amen. We forget sometimes that he's our dad. He's our dad. He wants to be involved in what everything that we're doing. God wants to hear from us. What are we willing to change or give up to hear from God? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? What are we willing to give up so we can hear from God? What must I do as an individual to talk to God, to hear his voice? All we have to do is believe we can. That's all we have to do. Just believe we can. Open up the channel that reaches to his ear, and that is called prayer. Opening up the channels of communication with prayer leads us into connection. We already opened up the channels of communication by opening up our mouths and praying. Now we're starting to have a connection. Having that connection with the Father opens us up for miracles, for his blessings, and his promises. And he lays it all out for us when we read the word. But if we're not reading the word, we don't know what that is. Amen? One of his promises is in Joel 2, verse 32. It says, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." Deliver from what, you ask? From whatever doesn't line up from God's plan in our lives. That includes sickness, stress, financial lack, indecision, and it can go on and on from there. We can think of 1,000 different things that's not going right or lining up with God's plan. Prayer, our communication connects us, intertwines us to God. It makes us a part of a team. It's a partnership. It gives us a spiritual connection. It also connects and ties us into his covenant. He wanted us to have a connection to him so bad that he sent his son Jesus Christ to reconnect us to him. Now we have a blood covenant. He spoke to everybody then and they had a covenant, but they had to do all the sacrifices. He sent Jesus as our sacrifice, so we don't have to do that, and we still have a blood covenant. Amen. Through that connection, we experience his love, and with love comes protection. That connection lets us enter into God's holy presence and anointing. The Bible says we can come boldly into his throne room with our request and expect an answer. And sometimes when we pray and let God know, we don't expect the answer. We're still thinking about the problem, but we need to expect an answer. Through our connection with God, insecurity fades, and that sense of protection grows. The word says all things are possible with God who strengthens us. And what that means is God got us covered. Amen. Sometimes we forget that he's got us covered. But when we pray, we get stronger. It strengthens our belief, strengthens our connection. And then we figure out, oh, he's got me covered. I can continue in doing what I'm already doing. That special connection to God gives us courage to deal with the things in our everyday lives. I heard somebody the other day, they were talking about, man, I just want to give up. But you know what? We don't have to have that feeling, because we already know he's got us covered. He's with us every day, every second of the day. He knows that we can't do it alone. Our enemy, the devil, is constantly trying to deceive and discourage us. But we have to be able to recognize that he's the enemy. God would never do that to us. Amen? Amen. Through prayer and communication with God, we're reminded of his promises so we don't fall into this trap the devil has set for us. And he's always looking, always searching for those he can trip up. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane because of what he had been tasked to do. He prayed. So that's our first example. And as he prayed, he received power to continue to do his divine task, because he knew what was going to happen. How many of us would still do that? But he prayed. God gave him power to continue because he had a connection to God. He had the assurance, the expectancy that his Father was going to help him so he could move forward. Connection brings about the kind of expectancy or expectation that we need to have all the time. We need to expect an answer from God. When we call up on him, when we pray, when we lift up our needs, we need to expect that he's going to give us the answer. When we understand and accept and believe that we have a connection to God and his word, now we're ready for relationship. So we have communication, which connects us to God. Now we're building a relationship. And with relationship brings intimacy. We can freely talk to God. We can expect to hear his voice. And we can find comfort in him and his word. Amen. John 15:7 says, "But if you stay joined, connected to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted." Amen. So are we going to believe the word of God or believe what our natural mind tells us? Amen. We have to be able to do that, to check it out and go, well, wait a minute. What I'm thinking is not lining up with God's word. So I'm not going to listen to what my mind's telling me. I'm going to listen to what God's word is telling me. When you reach this level of intimacy, and some of you have already had experiences with that intimacy, with God's faithfulness, because in our lives when we pray, some of you have already had miracles, and we have miracles every day, and we just don't pay attention that they're miracles in our lives. Healing miracles, finance miracles, new job miracles. Because we pray, some people pray for new jobs. They want to get out of where they are. They pray and ask God for a new job, and next thing you know, you have a promotion. Or you get a new job. Somebody offered you a job and you didn't even look for it. Amen? That's a miracle. Finances. When people give their first fruit offering, expecting God to do something with that. And the next thing, we've heard miracles, we've heard the testimonies. People have gotten tens of thousands of dollars just from giving their first fruit offerings. And all we have to do is open up our mouths and ask, pray. And from that, from the relationship, now we have confidence. Confidence in God, confidence in his word, confidence in what his word says that he'll do for us. Amen? Confidence in God and ourselves. God does, well, how does he look at us? God does miracles. He does things we can't even imagine that he can do.
Yes. That's right. Yes, yes, he does.
And we don't even know it. I know when we were living in Seattle, I had my tires rotated. And thank God they taught us how to pray. And thank God we had the confidence that we knew he was with us and could do things. I'm driving down the highway and my front tire comes off. And I'm going like 60. It's on the highway. My tire comes off and instead of flying over there, usually it goes that way and doesn't return. Well, mine went out and came in front of the car. But I didn't know that it did that because my car never hit the ground. I'm driving, I see this tire, and I'm like, that looks like my tire. So I pull off to the side of the road, still not hitting the ground, and I don't have a tire. And I pull over to the side of the highway, and I park and get out, and it was my tire. So I get out of my car, walk up to where the tire came over, brought the tire back to the car. And I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. And pray, and apologize to my angel for running so fast to hold my car up. But you know what? That's the confidence that we can have in God. Because if we hadn't thought about that, if I hadn't been a praying Christian and believing God's word and believing that he can do miracles, that probably would have never happened. And I prayed, sat there, and the police officer finally came. Because back in the day, you could put a white thing up on your antenna, which we don't have antennas anymore. And people are supposed to know you're in trouble. And they're supposed to stop. But nobody stops. I said, okay, I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to shut my eyes and pray. And when I open them, somebody's going to be there to help me. And so I did, and opened my eyes, and here comes a state trooper. And boy, I couldn't tell him enough. I just had a miracle. I just had a miracle. And he looked at my car and he said, you did just have a miracle, because that doesn't happen. My car didn't have a scratch on it. So confidence in God and what his word says. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says he created us in his image and likeness. We had a sheet, which I don't have, and he couldn't find it for me, that says we are overcomers. We are in the image and likeness of God. We can do anything that God tells us to do. And on and on and on. The Bible tells us so much about ourselves, and we don't look at ourselves in the scripture. But what we need to do is, when he talks about thee and thou and Moses and Noah and all the, we need to put our name in there.
Amen.
Amen. Here's a few. Confidence builds and strength gives us strength. When we have confidence, we think we can do anything. Amen. With confidence, we can talk to anybody. With confidence, we can be street preachers. With confidence, we can get up here and teach. With confidence, we can pray for people in the sanctuary. Because everybody can't do that. That is an anointing from God to be able to do that. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ. That strengthens us. Confidence builds up our faith in the Word. Psalms 34:17 says, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. He didn't say from some of their troubles. He didn't give us just one trouble. He said from all of the troubles. So now we have to ask ourselves, are we going to believe and have confidence in that word?
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 1 John 5:14 says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him.
Yes.
We are confident that he hears us. I've heard many people say that God doesn't hear my prayer, but they're just not listening for the answer. Because he's talking to us all the time. Thank God he talks to us all the time. When we see ourselves change, or the change in people, that someone that we prayed for, that strengthens our confidence and beliefs in Almighty God and his word. Who in the Bible had confidence in God's word? Moses did. Otherwise, he would have never went back to Egypt. Abraham did. Otherwise, he would have never left his homeland to travel to a foreign land that he didn't know anything about. They all had an open channel to God, an intimate relationship. And because of that, they were not the men they used to be. They changed. We are not the people we used to be. Amen?
Amen.
Most of us wouldn't be sitting here in the church. Now that we have mastered communicating with God, and have built up our confidence in who he says we are and what his word says about us and what we can do, now we have established trust and faith. Trust and faith. What does the word trust and faith mean? I looked it up. I put them both together because after looking it up online and on aish.com, they both have the same meaning. It's reliance, confidence in someone, safety, belief, dependence, count on, cling to, strength, firm, ownership, trust, conviction, assurance, expectation, affirmation, and persuasion. And those are some powerful words. And all of that identifies how we feel about Almighty God. Amen. With our trust and faith in God, we can go to higher heights, and levels in our lives and prayer life. God has given each and every one of us an opportunity, an open door to know him with a deeper intimacy and trust so we can feel his presence more powerfully. To know him, and through him, we have no limits and no boundaries to what we can do and what he can do. No limits or no boundaries. And we put stipulations and boundaries on ourselves every day. We tell ourselves we can't do something, but the Bible says we can. So we need to put that in our pocket and our memory banks and remember that, because it's all about partnership. When we partner with God, there's nothing that we can't do. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer accomplishes what we can't accomplish on our own. That's a good reason to pray. That's one reason why it's important, because it helps us go far beyond what we can think that we can do on our own. Faith and trust, it strengthens us. It gives us power because we have God backing us up. What's that song? He's in the front and the back, on the right and the left. He's all over, above and beneath. He's got us covered. We make the choice to be sold out. As my husband would say, burn the ships. That song, they play it all the time, burning the ships. You know what? And that they burnt the ships because you can't turn back. Christians, we don't turn back. We keep moving forward in every aspect of our lives. Why? Because we pray. We ask God. We trust God. We believe in what he says we can do. We believe what he can do. Amen?
Amen.
Trust and faith moves us forward. I was thinking about that when I put that down there, moving us forward, and what Pastor was talking about, righteousness and the breastplate and putting on the full armor of God. And I think I looked that up. I don't even know if it was Aish or Chabad, but it says our armor, the armor that we have, it's for defense. We don't have any armor in the back. Why did God do that? Because we're not going to turn around in defeat.
That's right.
The armor is, our offense is the sword of the Spirit, God's word. So we're not retreating. We're not turning around and we're not going back. So faith in God moves us forward. We don't walk in fear or worry. We surrender everything, every aspect, every part of our lives to God. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In the Living Bible, it says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. The certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it ahead. The confident assurance. We need to be confident in ourselves, our faith, our belief, and in God's word. Amen?
Amen.
A couple of people in the Bible, examples to those that were sold out to God and believe in him, is in Hebrews 11. That was Abel. You normally don't hear about Abel, except he got killed by his brother. But you know what? With all the training that he had from his dad, he's mentioned in the Bible because of his faith and trust in God. He obeyed God's teaching of giving an offering and gave him an offering. And the offering, with that offering, he trusted and believed that God would accept it. Moses, he trusted God when he was told to go back to Egypt. He knew he couldn't do it alone. He said he couldn't speak well. But God was going to do something. He knew God was going to do something great. So he went anyway. He trusted, he believed in God and what he was telling him. Of course, it would be nice to have him talking to you all the time. No, don't do that, Moses. I have help for you. Noah, it says that Noah was a righteous man. No matter what was going on around him, which is Sodom and Gomorrah all over again, He stood fast on what he was sold, and he stood fast on what his fathers told him, and he was sold out to God's teaching. He had a special relationship with God. He had to have faith to believe and trust that what God told him to do was going to happen, that there was going to be a flood and he needed to build an ark. There hadn't been any rain. So he had to trust and believe in what God was telling him. And his own family probably thought he was crazy. And I know the people in the town, all the stories we hear about, they all knew he was crazy. But you know what? He believed. He kept going forward and doing what God told him to do. All of this brings to our remembrance what the Word of God tells us in Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19. God is close to all who call on him sincerely and in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who trust and reverence him. He hears their cries or their prayers for help, and he rescues them. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He hears our prayers and he rescues us. Yeah. The Bible also tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what are we going to do if we don't have faith? If we don't pray, how can we build up our faith and that strength? God wants us to be diligent in communicating with him. Amen? Diligent, ongoing, continuously opening up our hearts and our minds and our mouths and speaking to God and telling him what we need. Here at New Beginnings, we have an established culture of prayer. We have an example daily, every week. One of the examples that we have is Pastor Larry and Pastor Tiz. They've been prayer warriors since they were saved some 40 years ago. An example of the importance of prayer was when we all came together as a church body and family, we all pressed in for Lion's healing. We pressed in for Pastor Tiz's healing. For all the church family that had and have difficulties in their lives at the miracle services.
That's right.
Why do we have miracle services? Because we trust and believe in what God is going to do. It's funny, sometimes you hear people talk, well, God doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't do miracles. He doesn't hear us. He doesn't heal people. I have no idea, no clue how people can even get to that point in their lives. Because I know for a fact that he does. I've had miracles. I had 2 hip replacements. They said I would never wear heels again. I wear them all the time. But I stood on his word and was believing for a long time. I think it for probably, 2 years? Believing God was just going to heal me. I said, God, you can heal me. You can change whatever's going on. You can build my collagen back up. You can put it back where it belongs so I don't need any surgery. But I kept moving and doing what I was doing in his service just because I was believing he was going to heal me. You know, and then finally I said, okay, I guess I'm going to have to believe and trust in you through a doctor. But I finally went, and the doctor said I was his poster child because they always tell you you can't cross your legs, you can't do this. And I had the surgery and everything, and I had no pain. I had no pain. And they were like, the doctor came, do you know what I did to you, what I did to your leg? And he's telling me he turned it all around and making sure it was going right and everything. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't have any pain. So I was like, that's a miracle from God. Pastor Tiz is a miracle from God. They said she had cancer. How many people think that's a death sentence? But God is faithful. lion. He had leukemia. That's a form of cancer. God was faithful. We have people in this church who have miracles. All the time. We hear about them all the time. A guy the other Sunday came to talk to Pastor. He was dead. And they brought him back to life. And he doesn't even know how long he was out. I think his wife said he was out for a while. And he's back, no brain damage. And they tell you that that can't happen. The doctors had no explanation. They couldn't explain it. But he's back with us, no brain damage, talking like it never happened. and I'm like, God, you are so good. And when I go up there and pray with Pastor Huck and asking people what they want from God, they're coming up there for prayer and they expect Pastor Huck to heal them. But it's not Pastor Huck. It's not our prayer partners. It's not me. It's Almighty God. So I ask when they come up, what do you want from God today? And I don't give them a chance to rehearse the curse and tell them everything that was going wrong. Why? Because we expect God to change their life. We expect God to do what His Word says that He's going to do. Amen? So when we pray for people, all of the prayer partners, I tell them, don't go forward if you can't believe that something's going to change in a person's life that you're praying for. Don't go forward if you don't think you can handle what somebody brings to you to pray for. Because God's not going to show up there. The people that are coming forward are believing that we believe that God is going to change their lives. Amen? And that's the culture of this church. We believe that God is going to change our lives and change the lives of people that enter this house.
Amen.
Another thing going here, the importance of prayer, is that without prayer, we're lost. Without that communication, without that connection, without that intimate relationship, what do we have left? We're on our own. Look in the world today, around us every single day, on our jobs, our neighbors. They're lost. They have no hope. I was looking at something on news and they were talking about all the different candidates and everything and people that are voting for them or not voting for them. And I thought, people really don't know who's out there. They really don't know who's out there. They really don't know what people really stand for. And that's why we pray.
That's right.
We pray for God to send us the right people, for us to have the knowledge, find out what's going on, so we can pray the right people into the offices so we don't have to worry about it. Our job is to bring the kingdom of heaven down here to earth.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we pray for. That's our ultimate goal, is to bring heaven down here on earth. God created the earth for us to enjoy. So, and that's a big part of prayer. Amen. We stand on prayer here in this church body. So if you're not willing to hear everybody praying around you, you're in the wrong place. Because we pray over everything. We see miracles over and over because we pray. In our lives, here's an example right here. She's a miracle walking. Sonia, she showed me a picture. She was in a car accident. They had to pry her out of that. The car was so mangled. And here she is. She walked away. Why? Because she's a prayer warrior. Because we pray. Amen? And we could go on and on about the miracles here in this church. We have kids in this church that have miracles. Parents, you know that your kids, that you have miracles every single day. When they go to school every day, there's a miracle. Amen. People that have going to counseling, believe you get your miracle. Believe God is going to turn your life around, turn your relationship around, so you can have a miracle. You can live the life God called you to have. He gave us, each and every one of us, a task to do. And the one task, the first task, is to pray. The Bible tells us that. I told you the scripture. He tells us to pray and be alert. And you know, he talks to you all the time. I know when we were married, Pastor Scott is my husband. When we were married, when we first got married, when we first got married early on, you know, couples argue. We argued. And one day we were arguing and I was so mad, but I had to go to work. So I left the house to go to work, and I'm driving down the street and I'm talking to God and arguing with God and just mad and just, you know, well, why is this happening? Why are you letting this happen? This is not supposed to be the way it's supposed to be. And I'm talking, so finally I stopped and paused a little bit to take a breath to continue. And I heard this voice in my head said, it wouldn't be an argue if you would keep your mouth shut. And I'm like, I had to think about that for a minute. And then I'm like, well, thank you very much, God, because I knew I wouldn't tell myself that. So God speaks to us.
Yes,
it might not be what we want to hear. But that's true. You can't have a one-way argument. If you don't enter in, there's no argument, right? So I just say, thank you very much. Because I knew, because it's not me. I would never tell myself. The devil won't tell me that. He wants to break us all up,
yes.
Our relationships.
Yes.
I think I read somewhere that, you know, over 50% of the divorce rate is higher in the church than it is in the world. Of course, people in the world nowadays don't even get married.
Right.
But I tell you, when I heard that, I'm like, okay, God, okay. And I'm like, okay. That's why somebody says something, I go, no, he definitely speaks to you. I have a testimony. He speaks to you. Amen.
Amen.
Having an ultimate and an intimate relationship with Almighty God is our ultimate goal. That is the goal he gives us. That is the goal he reminds us to have. That is the goal he wants us to have. Now it's time for you and us in the church body to take ownership, to be a part and stand with the culture here at New Beginnings, a church of prayer. Pastor gets up every Sunday and says, we are a church of prayer. We are and we'll always be a church of prayer. No matter what's going on, we're going to be on our knees and we're going to be praying for our city, for our state, for our church people, for the whole nation, for the world, because we want everybody to know about Jesus, right? Amen. Here's how we do it here at New Beginnings. We believe that what Almighty God says. We stand on his word no matter what. Just think if Pastor and Tiz didn't stand on his word no matter what. Because people are always coming around telling you about what happened to them. So sometimes you just got to block them and say, I'm sorry. Put your hand up. I'm sorry. I can't listen to that. Amen. We always pray the word of God, not what we think he wants to hear from us. We pray positive. We don't rehearse the curse.
That's right.
So I'm telling you ahead of time, if you come up for prayer, don't get offended if I say, okay, I'm sorry, but I can't hear you. I can't listen to that. Just tell me what you want to hear from God. Because people get offended real quick. But I'm telling you, we're just not going to rehearse the curse. We're going to stay positive. We're going to believe what the word of God says. And we're not going to listen to anything else, because what you're doing is you're rehearsing it, and you're causing it to go into the air, and you know what? You're creating what you're trying to get rid of. So we need to be careful about what we say. Amen. We're always strengthening our faith by prayer. Prayer makes us strong. Prayer makes us stand. When we've done all we can do, stand. Amen. We study the Word of God so we know what it says. Because you can't pray the Word of God if you don't know what it says. Jesus gave us that example in the wilderness. When the devil came to tempt him, what did he do? He quoted scripture. The devil knows scripture. He knows he can't stand against it.
That's right.
Amen? So that's what we need to know. We need to know what it says so we can tell the devil what it says, and he already knows he has to flee. He has to go. He can't be around. I have a prayer card. Or we have a prayer card. I have it over there on the Welcome Center. An example, an outline on prayer. This is what Jesus told his disciples. He gave them an outline. The Our Father. I grew up Catholic, so that was our whole prayer. We just quoted the prayer and that was it. But really, and people still do that, but really it's an outline. It's an outline of prayer. And it also gives you the names of God at the beginning, at the top. So you know who you're praying to. Isn't it good to know who you're praying to?
Amen.
Put the name or the deed that he does. Jehovah Sikkenu, God of my righteousness. Jehovah Makedesh, God who sanctifies me.
Yes.
Jehovah Shalom, the God who gives me peace. Jehovah Shema, God who is always there when I need him. He's always there when we need him. Jehovah Rophi, God who heals me. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides all my needs. Jehovah Nisi, the God who is my victory and protection. Jehovah Rophi, God who is my shepherd and my guide. We have a book of all the names of God, but to know this and then go through this outline to pray, it's a tremendous outline. So I want each of you to pick those up if you don't already have them. That'll help you in your prayer life. Amen? Because I tell you, there's nothing better than praying. As soon as I open my eyes, I'm praying. And the Bible tells us to pray all the time without ceasing. And sometimes you think, God, I can't do that. I have to work or whatever. But just during the day, it comes to your mind to say, thank you, God, for this. That's prayer. Just thanking him for who he is and what he's doing. Amen. Every morning when we pray, we're not only asking God for things, we want to know what he has for us. What does he want for us in the morning? What is it, God, you want me to do today? Because sometimes we think about it and we're just, it's all about us and our, you know, everything we hear now, it's me, 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 me. And my husband always has this joke, and he always tells it, on your phone, if all the pictures are about you, there's a problem. Houston, there's a problem. Because it's not just about you. It's about everybody around us. It's about God. It's about what can we do for other people. Here in the church, we do outreaches. Like Wanderson says, we do life together. That means covering one another. That means lifting each other's hands up, standing with one another. And I found out the other day, somebody was in the hospital. Somebody's daughter had a stroke. And I'm like, why didn't we know that? People forget. Our congregation forgets. When you're having trouble, something happens in your life, call the church.
Amen.
We want to know what's going on in your lives so we can lift you up, just like we stood in prayer with Pastor Tiz and Pastor Larry and his family.
Amen.
That's what family does. That's what New Beginnings does. That's our culture. Prayer is our culture. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be left out in the cold all by yourself. Because I know sometimes you think about it, you think, well, nobody wants to know about that. That's just a trivial thing. But it's not trivial. Anytime the enemy is attacking you, you need help.
Amen.
Even if you're praying on your own, one will send 1,000 to flight. Two will send 10,000 to flight.
Yes.
Don't go it alone. It, like it said, it's a partnership. Prayer is a partnership. Here at New Beginnings, we want to partner with you. We want to be partners with God. Amen?
Amen.
I have also over there 10 benefits of prayer. Number one, prayer develops a relationship with God. And how many of us don't want a relationship? That's why we got saved. So we can have a relationship. Not just to go to heaven. We want to have a relationship here on earth. We want to enjoy our life. We want to enjoy our family. Have a relationship with God. Number two, prayer provides answers. Because we can't think of everything. We try to. But we can't think of everything. Amen? So we need to be able to pray, ask God what we need to do, and be quiet like I did. So he can give us an answer. And he will. He will. Number three, it helps you find direction in life and serious decisions. Because we are confronted with serious decisions every single day. Number four, it builds strength and confidence to stand. It's easy to just want to give up. That's just our nature. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, they won't let me do that. Oh, nobody listens to me. But you know what? That's not true. That's not true. God, prayer strengthens us so we can stand in the time of adversity, so we can stand when everything seems hard. It doesn't have to be hard. But prayer takes work. Amen? It takes work. Sometimes you have to dig your heels in and say, you know what? I know all this stuff is happening. I know it looks bad. But God, I am asking you for help. And he's faithful to give us that help. Number five, prayer enhances our closeness to God. We want that intimate relationship. We want to be intertwined with God. We don't want God here, us here, and everything else. No, we want to be one with God. One with God. I want to get as close as I can. Number six, prayer changes your attitude. You can't pray and have stinking thinking, as we used to tell the kids. We used to be children's pastors, so we said, you can't have stinking thinking.
That's right.
So it changes your prayer, changes your attitude. It has to. You can't hold on to what you want, what you think when you're praying to God. It's impossible. Which is another reason why he gives us the Holy Spirit. Because we don't always know what to pray. We can't always voice it out and say the right words to get the answers that we want. Which is why we pray in our heavenly language. Some people freak out when you say tongues. But that's what it is, because you don't know what you're saying. It's your heavenly language. And you can't live without it. So if you don't have it, you need to speak to somebody today. Because you can't go any further without it, because we just don't have the words to say all the time to God. But when we pray that's the perfect prayer. I remember that when we got saved and got filled with the Holy Spirit, it took me forever. Him, he got it right away. We were in this huge sanctuary. You could hear him all across the sanctuary praying. He has that kind of voice. It just, you know, you can hear it everywhere. And I'm thinking, and I could hear him, and I'm like, dang, he got it already. And I'm still working on it, and I can't get it. Because I'm a thinker, so I'm thinking of trying to think of what I'm saying, which is helping me not get what I'm supposed to get. the people, ladies are all around me, and they're trying to just stop trying to think about what you're saying. I said, I could speak French and you wouldn't know what I was saying. Yeah. They said, just say it. So they kept trying to get me to do it. And one lady said, just, you know, say Abba. So I said, Abba. She said, you got it. I'm like, what? But, you know, but we need it. It took me going home. I tried to do it our drive home. I think we were driving 40 minutes or 45 minutes home from the church. That's how far away we were. And I kept saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. They said I had it. Abba. So I did that all the way home, went into the bathroom, stood in front of the mirror. They said I had it. Abba, Abba. And I just kept saying it. And finally it just clicked and I just took off. It just took off. But it took me that long. He got it instantly. Like, what? God. But you know what? It changed my attitude about a lot of things. Especially because I knew, man, I got my heavenly language. I have the perfect prayer every single time. And it's coming from my mouth to God's ear. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. And I'm like, yes, God, I got it. So I try to get everybody saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, because you just don't have the language to say all the things you need to say and the way you need to say it, because we have all this other stuff in our brains going that taints our attitudes and what we're thinking. Amen. Number 7, prayer brings about miracles. Miracles cometh. You cannot pray enough and don't expect a miracle. Expectation. We need to keep that in the forefront of our minds. We need to make a big sign and put it in our Bibles or in our purses or in our jacket pockets. Expectation. Because when you have expectation, you can do anything. When you have expectation for God to move, He's going to move. The Bible says, it says, prove me. Prove me that I won't answer your prayer. And that counts for praying. When you pray and have that intimate relationship, miracles will happen. Amen? Prayer allows us to repent and change our behavior. And we see just kids don't want to change. We have a dog, and man, he is stubborn. He is stubborn, and I'm like, man, people are like that. I'm like that. If I believe something and somebody tells me that I need to change that, and I'm like, no. I don't think so. Until, you know, it's proven that, you know, okay, I might need to change a little bit. But you know what? I am sold out to God. I am sold out to God. There is no return. Nobody can tell me that God's not real. Yeah. Nobody can tell me that there is no God, that I can't pray, that I can't stand on His word. Because my youngest daughter, sometimes she came home, she moved away and came home and said, men wrote the Bible, Mom. I said, men wrote the Bible inspired by the Lord. I said, read it. It's an instruction manual. A lot of people read it as a book and they don't get anything. But I am sold out on the Word of God. I am sold out to prayer. I am sold out to living a Christian life. So I am going to be stubborn and I am not going to change that behavior. Amen. No matter what. No matter what happens. If I don't get the things that I'm asking for or looking for, I'm still not going to change. Amen. Number 9, prayer increases our faith and trust in God. It increases our faith. We can never have enough faith when it comes to God. We can never have enough. Hebrews 11 gives us a whole list of people that have faith. God uses people to do extraordinary things. And how do they do those extraordinary things? By faith. They step out by faith, and that's how they do it. And trusting that God's going to do what He says He's going to do. If the Bible says it, I believe it. And I'm moving forward on that word. Amen. Number 10, prayer brings peace and hope. When you pray, you should have supernatural peace above everything, that God's got you covered, that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do it, and what you asked him for, he's going to give you that answer. Amen? Amen. And I also have that over there on the Welcome Center if you wanted that. And let me check the time because I don't want to go over. So I tell you, prayer, there's nothing better than prayer. And I call this prayer 101 because that's not all the prayer. I just gave you the basics that we need to have. Communication. We need to connect to God. Communicate to God. Connect to God. Have confidence in God. Have a relationship with God. And nothing can stand in our way when we have that. But that's not all for prayer. Prayer also is a weapon. A weapon. So the next time I get to teach, I'm going to teach on spiritual warfare, because that is what prayer is. It's spiritual warfare. It's our sword. God's word is our sword. Pastor talked about the sword of truth. That's his word. The enemy can't stand against God's word. Prayer is our weapon to connect to God. And God's word is our weapon to defeat anything and everything that doesn't line up with his word. Amen? Amen. So right now, we're going to take an offering. I remember. We're going to take an offering. And after we start, after we take the offering, if anybody needs prayer for anything, we can come. You can come forward. I have some prayer partners in here I see, and my husband will get up and we'll pray. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be able to give, to help somebody in need, give, to help somebody learn about Jesus. Father, we praise you, we thank you as we take this offering. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Stream family, we're going to be praying for you too. Amen.